We'll be continuing this Sunday, as we were last Sunday, on the love of God, which is a broad, general subject. I'm going to be sharing various passages of Scripture with you. One of the first ones that I'm going to be sharing with you is found in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And the reason I chose this passage of Scripture, first of all, is because I felt like the Lord wanted me to. And the one verse that I'm going to read there, and we're going to use a couple of verses as our text, and Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29 is going to be one of them. The other one, of course, is John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that means us. Amen. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When God was giving the children of Israel through Moses the Ten Commandments, in verse 29, after the children of Israel had spoken and said, told Moses, you go speak to God, because the mountain was on fire and burning and smoke, and they saw the awesome presence of God, and they were fearful. And we are supposed to have an awesome concern for God. Amen. We don't want to take him for granted. And I don't think any of his children do. But after they had seen that, they told Moses, you go talk to God. We'll let you talk to him, and then you come back and tell us what he says. In verse 29, the Lord says to Moses, in those verses preceding that, he said, you know, I've heard what the people said, and what they said is a good thing. Then he said in verse 29, oh, and this is one of our texts, that they had such a heart in them, that they would fear me and always keep all of my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. So, I want to say, like I said last Sunday, and then we'll get on, I'm going to read some more scripture and comment, make some comments on it, and then we'll be through here directly. But as I said last Sunday, there's a lot of people, not really, even some Christian people, that don't really know God as well as they ought to. They haven't taken the time to get acquainted with him through his Holy Spirit and through his Word and through association with fellow Christians. And that's what God wants us to do. That's why he's called us. That's why he sent his Son to die for us. And he took our sins on his body and to the cross. And he says here that it might be well with them and with their children forever. And what I had said last Sunday is that oftentimes many people think that God's commandments and his salvation, but especially his commandments, are not for our good, but for his good, that he gave us those commandments so we could understand that he's an awesome God and a mighty God, and that we need to obey him and stand in awe of him, which we do. But that's about all they get out of it. They think that that's more or less for God, not for us. And so I want to correct that, because that's the wrong kind of thinking. He said these things, these commandments, and all that God does for us, even today, all that God does for us, is so that it might be well with us. Deuteronomy 5:20, that it might be well with them. And not only that it might be well with us, but it might be well with our families, our children, our families, our loved ones. Amen? And it's not just that we keep the commandments, because if anybody has tried that in a religious way or a religious manner to try to keep the commandments, one of the first things that they realize is that they can't keep them. They can't do it. Take God's name in vain. Kill not steal. Don't lie. Don't do this. Don't do that. We've all broken maybe some of them, if not all of them. Is that right? And so that's one of the reasons that he gave those commandments, was so that we would understand that he is a God. He's a holy God. He's an awesome God. He's a righteous God. And he wants us to have fellowship with him, but he wants us to understand that it's not on our basis that we have fellowship with him, but it's on his basis that we have fellowship. He has made a way through the cross and through the death and the burial and the resurrection. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He has made a way so that we, being not anywhere near like he is or holy or righteous as he is, can have a relationship with him. Amen? And that we can experience his love, and we can experience his forgiveness, and we can experience that he feels for us, he loves us, he cares for us, he supplies our needs, that we understand that he's a good God. He's our Heavenly Father. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. And even when he gave the Ten Commandments and the law to Moses, because he knew they couldn't keep them, he also gave them instructions on what to do when they sinned, when they realized they had broken the commandments. And of course, they offered bullocks. They shed blood. They offered lambs. Amen. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He made provisions when he gave them this information of the commandments, which he knew that they were not going to be able to keep. But that doesn't mean we don't keep them now. It just means that he gave them those so we could understand that it was going to have to be by his righteousness and by the gift of his Son, and by his sacrifice, and by the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, by his blood being shed, that we who were not able to keep those commandments would still be able to draw close of him because of the blood. Amen? And so all of the blood of the bulls and the calves and the lambs and the animals that sacrifices in the Old Testament were just pointing to the fact that one day Jesus was going to send his Son, and he was going to be the Lamb of God for us, and he was going to take away the sins of the whole world. Isn't that wonderful? And not only that, but because he loved us, he wasn't going to just only take away our sins and say, I forgive you. He was going to make us a new creation. He was going to take away the old Adam, the old sin part that came from Adam and Eve's sin, and he was going to put that off, and make us new creations in Christ Jesus, so that we could put off the old man and be renewed in the spirit of our minds, as the scripture said, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I believe it is, says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. How do we get in Christ? We just simply come and call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, can't save myself. I have to be born again, and you're the only one that you brought me into this world in the first place, and you're the only one that can birth me into your kingdom. And it's by the death, burial, and resurrection of your precious Son and his shed blood, and him bearing my sins in his body on the cross, so that God's love can be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That's the love of God in a nutshell. John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. There's a good scripture that I want to share with you. 1 John chapter 4, that's a little book of 1 John. There's back in the far back in the New Testament, back over towards the book of Revelations. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, herein is love. God says here, I want you to know what love is. Where do you find love? How do you get love? What is love? Herein is love. He wants us to know this. 1 John 4:10, herein is love. Not that we loved God. Right? It's not that we love God. But where is then this love? He loved us. It's God's love. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. And because He loved us and He knew that we were in a situation where we needed to be saved, we needed to be changed, our sins need to be forgiven, they needed to be washed away so He could have a relationship with us and fellowship with us so He could be our Heavenly Father. But not only that, once we are become recipients of His love, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So we can love Him because He first loved us, and when we experience His love, His forgiveness, His mercy, His long-suffering, and understand the gift of His Son on the cross who for us, then we love Him in return. And the more, and this, we need to understand this. The more we experience His love, the more we can love Him. One of the things that happened to me when I first became a Christian, because of all of the things that I did as a young man, I did a lot of things as a young man. And I didn't want, I brought up in church and I was a member of the church. But I didn't know God from anything. Didn't want to know Him. Couldn't understand why people even went to church, why they wanted to know Him. And so my concept of coming to God was, I just didn't really want to come to Him. But because God loved me, and because somebody prayed for me, don't forget to pray for people. I'm so glad my mom and my dad prayed for me. After I was 18 years old, God had already called me and told me to come to Him, and I did because I felt like that I needed to, or I was going to spend eternity without Him. And as I responded to Him, He changed my life. Later on, I felt like He wanted me to do something, and because I loved Him, I wanted to do whatever it was He wanted me to do. And so I surrendered myself to the ministry to be whatever He wanted me to be. After I'd done that, my mom told me, and I was the firstborn of seven, and my mom told me, Lewis, I dedicated you to the Lord before you were ever born. I thought, boy, I didn't have a chance. Thank God I didn't have a chance. Amen? Thank God I didn't have a chance. She said, I went before the Lord and said, Lord, if You'll just give me a little boy, because they had been married. Mom and Dad had been married 3 years, and I've told this story to you before, and she hadn't had any children, and some of her other girlfriends had gotten married, had children. She went to the altar at the church and bowed down, and she said, God, if You'll just give me a little boy, I'll give him to You for the rest of his life. Thank God. Romans 5:5. Is another passage of Scripture I want to share with you. It has to do with the love of God. Just want you to understand that herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and He sent His Son for us. That's where it begins. Amen? And that means we have to become recipients. We have to receive. For as many, St. John chapter 1, verse 14, I think it is, For as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Amen. St. John chapter 1, verse 14, I think. Romans 5:5. We're saved by hope, he tells us here, and hope maketh not ashamed, Romans 5:5. Why are we not ashamed? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So the love of God, that's why we can love God, but not only can we love God, but we can have the God of love in us, and the love of God in us causes us to love one another and be concerned about one another. That's if you saw me when I was 18, 19, and if I knew y'all when I was 18 and 19, I wouldn't give a flip about you. I was just living for myself and whatever I wanted to do. I didn't care about anybody but Lewis Cowan. But when God got a hold of my life and changed me because I received his precious Son, who was the propitiation for my sins, then the love of God was shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit, which was given unto me, and then I began to love other people. The only one I didn't too much love or care about at that time was me. And then God had to teach me and let me know, because he said in his word, I want you to love others as you love yourself. If you don't love yourself, then how in the world can you love somebody else? Are you with me? So the love of God works both ways, because when we feel condemned and guilty, and that's what I was going to tell you, one of the first battles that I ever fought and one of the worst battles I ever fought was whenever I did give my life to the Lord and I was trying to serve him and live for him, and I felt God's love in my life. One of the things that happened to me was the enemy would come along and put thoughts in my mind that would say to me, how can God love somebody like you? And show me some of the things, if I had listened to him, and show me some of the things that I used to do. He didn't have to show me too much, because I used to do all kinds of things, and I was wondering too, how in the world could God love somebody like me? But when the love of God was shed abroad in my heart and in your heart, he's going to give you not only a love for others, but he's going to give you your love, his love for yourself. You with me? There is therefore now no condemnation, Romans 8, chapter 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And I want you to know right now, that means there is no self-condemnation. Doesn't mean that God doesn't condemn us. It just means there is also not to be any self-condemnation. Because one of the things that the enemy uses is he tries to use our past. And even after we're Christians, we don't live a perfect life. Is anybody perfect? You live a perfect life here? I'd like to. Don't everybody raise your hand at one time. We don't live a perfect life. And sometimes when we fail and do things wrong, and it doesn't have to be anything so big, it just can be something little, just a lie, for example. Or maybe we won't call it a lie. We'd just say, that's just a half-truth. I'm just exaggerating a little bit. Okay? But that's why the love of God has to help us to love ourselves and understand that because we are in Christ, not because we're good in ourselves, but because God is good in us, then there is no condemnation to us. Because if we have condemnation brings about doubt and brings about fear. You with me? And that fear is not necessarily the fear of God. That fear is the fear that God doesn't love us, or God can't love us, or God won't love us, or it's a fear that causes doubt and frustration and worry. And that kind of fear is not the kind of fear that God wants us to have. So the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. And He helps us to understand that He loves us. And if God can love somebody like me, then I need to love my new self. Not my old self and what I used to be, but I'm a new creation, and so are you. If you're a Christian, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, and the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. And because the love of God, Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, that means just exactly what it says, but let me simplify it for you. That means that when we, you, me, we, all of us who are born into this world, we don't have the strength or the ability to save ourselves. We can't do it. So when we were without strength, doesn't mean you have to get strong. It doesn't mean you have to get religion. It doesn't mean you have to start doing everything and strengthen yourself so you can do all these good things so God can love you. When you were yet without strength, Christ died for us. You with me? Isn't that wonderful? When we were yet without strength, when we couldn't help ourselves, God sent His Son to help us. Romans 5:8 says, let's go a little bit further with this. But God commended His love towards us. God revealed. God gave. God demonstrated His love towards you. You and you and me and we. God demonstrated His love. How did He demonstrate His love? By His Son on the cross, His death, His Son going through all the horrible punishments that He went through. But God commended His love towards us. When did He commend His love towards us? After we got saved, or after we, while we were trying to be saved, or while we were trying to keep the commandments, or while we were doing good things and trying to be good? No. He commended His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, He died for us. What? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It wasn't because I was doing anything good. It was because I couldn't do anything good. I didn't have the strength to do anything good. At the proper time, Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't die. Jesus didn't come. The scribes and the Pharisees were some of the most richest religious people on the face of the earth at that time when Jesus was on this earth. And He was eating with publicans and sinners. That was the most horrible. A publican was a tax collector and sinners. And they came to His disciples and said, why in the world is He eating with publicans and sinners? Why didn't He eat with us? What's wrong with us? What's going on here? And Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous. Those religious people like the scribes, I didn't come to call y'all. I called people that knew they were sinners, people who knew they were lost, people that knew that they were without hope. That's the ones I came for. I didn't come to call the righteous. I didn't come to call the religious. I came to call sinners to repentance. And I made the way through my Son's precious blood and through His death and burial and His resurrection. I made the way so that you could come to me, sinners. Amen? Praise God.
This is the love of God.
Verse 9 says, Romans 5, verse 9 says, much more then. I want everybody who's a Christian right now to say this. Much more. Much more. There's a whole lot more. Amen. It's a whole lot more than we just got saved. It's much more. He's poured out such blessings upon us that we can't even, if we understood it, we couldn't even receive them all. We'd just be so blessed it would be much more. He didn't just come to save us by the skin of our teeth. He saved us to give us life and life more abundantly. He said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I want them to experience the joy of my salvation. I want them to experience the joy of my presence. I want them to know that I care for them, that I love them, that I'm taking care of them, that I'm watching over them, that I will supply all of their needs according to my riches in glory through Christ Jesus. That's the love of God. And we need to understand that so we can get along in life. And that it might be well with us and with our children forever. Amen. Verse 12, Romans 5. I'm going to close here in just a second. Wherefore, but let's finish 9. Verse, much more then, being now justified by His blood. How are we justified? And what in the world does the word justified mean? Somebody told me a long time ago, and I've never forgot it. Justified means just as if I'd never sinned. That's what God's done for you, just as if you'd never sinned at all. Otherwise, He couldn't have anything to do with you. Amen? Just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. Being justified how? By His blood. Not by keeping the law and the Ten Commandments and doing religious things, but by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. I don't have to worry about eternal separation from God or going to hell, because through Him and by His blood, I'm justified. Verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so he's talking about Adam here, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. There's none righteous, no, not one. Verse 17, for by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Amen. In Adam we're all lost. In the second Adam, Jesus Christ, we're all saved if we receive the gift of His salvation. Verse 18, therefore, Romans 5, 18, therefore by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Just like in Adam, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we're born into this world as sinners and born into condemnation. Now through Christ, we've been born again. We've been born again into righteousness. Amen. And there is no more condemnation. Amen. Praise God. We can have all the blessings of God because by Jesus Christ. So by the righteousness, verse 18, so by the righteousness of one, the free gift. Everybody say free gift. That means you didn't earn it, didn't deserve it. Amen. It was free. Praise God. Came upon all men unto justification of life, just as if I had never sinned. For, verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, Christ Jesus our Lord, shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered. Now here comes the Ten Commandments. Why did the law come? so that the offense might abound. What does that mean? It means without the law, I didn't know I was a sinner. We didn't understand why we wasn't getting along with God. What's wrong? But when we heard the Ten Commandments and the law, we understood, hey, that's what's wrong. So the commandment came not to save us. The commandment came to convict us and to put us in a situation so we, hey, then how am I going to get saved? I need help here. Amen? And so the commandment comes to show us that we've sinned and we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But where sin abounded, when we saw the law and what it meant and the offense abounded, but when sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen? Aren't you glad? Grace did much more abound. Verse 21, and we close. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15:21 says, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. And verse 22 says, for as in Adam we all die, even so in Christ shall we all be made alive. Aren't you glad? For the love of God. Amen. Good to see all of you here. Pray you have a wonderful day and a wonderful week. Let's everybody stand. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your prayers. We need your prayers, all of us. Pray for one another. Love one another. Encourage one another. Because we all need that. Amen. Thank you, Father, for this time together. Precious Son, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.